Hey, Kelsey.
Hey, Brooke.
Want to tell everyone what's happening in today's episode?
Brooke, this episode is long overdue.
Ooh, okay.
We're going to share our hot takes on Barbie.
Yes! If anyone could see my face right now, it is pure bliss. Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to Remedial Her Story, The Other 50%. The podcast that explores what happened to the women in history class. Now, here's your host, Kelsey Brooke Eckert, and her partner in crime, Brooke Neva Sullivan.
All right, so Brooke, we're going to share our hot takes on the Barbie movie and its representation of women, feminism, all the things. But before we do that, I need to make an apology to everyone.
Murmur.
As part of our business update.
Business update. Boop, boop, boop. I might make a theme song someday, but I just like to create it on the spot.
Love it. So I think that everybody needs to realize that they have implicit biases, and I do too.
What?
I know. Watching the Barbie movie.
You didn't want to like it.
I did want to like it. I was obsessed. Like the day it came out, I was very excited.
You're like pink.
But I realized that the daughter in that movie, yeah. Gloria's daughter, who hates Barbie and basically tells her to get out of Dodge when she shows up.
Yeah.
Like that was me. And so when we're thinking about, and that was our generation, right? Of girls.
Well, and for those who haven't seen the movie, go watch it. But the little girl basically like reads Barbie. She's like, one side of you and the other side of you, and how you have not helped feminism, period. You've set us back a million years.
Right. You represent all the unfair expectations on women and blah, 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 blah.
She went hard.
She was aggressive, and I loved it. But I was that girl. And so when we think about, and part of that was a reaction to the history curriculum that I had growing up. And, you know, if you flipped through a textbook and you saw the like, you know, pop-up woman on the side, it was often women in pop culture or things that were like kind of
fluff.
It felt like fluff to me. It was like, really? That's all women can be? And the example is I distinctly remember learning about Marilyn Monroe in school, and I was like, she's a singer. Like, what? Like, who are the women?
She's an actress.
Okay. Actress, singer. Like, but the thing that he was bringing up, my teacher was bringing up, was her singing Happy Birthday to the President. And I was like,
why is this
really
relevant?
Like, that is the most significant, that's the women's history that I remember, and that's the most significant contribution of women in
what
history.
What he could have done is put Marilyn Monroe against Jackie Kennedy and said, why is this such an important topic in women's history? Because these two women are, build a dichotomy, build
right.
a dialogue.
Build a dialogue, right.
Why was this important to pop culture? Why was it important to the presidency?
So, here's my apology, though. I'm realizing that in developing our curriculum, I, as project director, had a bias towards sort of the like serious, hard history. And yet,
like a bias in the pro of that, like you wanted it.
I wanted women in politics, women in economics, women on the home front,
serious women,
you know, like women who are changing the world. And what's so dumb about that when you think about it, and what the Barbie movie illustrates in 30 seconds right at the very, very beginning, is how significant those pop culture things were to the lives of women.
Yeah, representation.
And the beginning of the Barbie movie is all these little girls playing with baby dolls, mm-hmm. and Barbie walks in. And the narrator's dialogue is basically, babies were the only thing that little girls could play with. And
it was such a great way to bring people into the movie and start the, like, why Barbie was so significant, mm-hmm. is because all women were allowed to play with was to pretend to be a mom.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that is your only role.
And yet, here's this doll, Barbie, that, and this is the point they illustrate in the film, that allows girls to be all these other things, right?
Yeah.
She can be a businesswoman. She can be
an astronaut, a doctor, a president.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All things.
We will get to more of this movie, but the president's character in the movie.
Amazing.
hands down. I mean, the comedian who plays that role is phenomenal and has been an amazing writer. And now I'm feeling bad. I don't know her name, which I will look up. But such a great role. Like, mm-hmm. it was just so impressive. So, yeah. So.
Right. The. Issa Rae. The thing that really brought this to a head for me and the need to add this to the curriculum that we have on our website. So we're at this, all of this is to say, we are going to add a chapter to our US history textbook, which is going to be pop culture in the 20th century.
What?
Dr. Barbara Tischler is writing.
Kelsey, I think you just got me to read it.
Outstanding. Dr. Barbara Tischler has written the sections on celebrities. So people like Marilyn Monroe will be discussed. We will add bits about dolls and their significance to girls' lives. And then Dr. Valerie Moyer is adding the bit on sports history. She's a gender studies professor and it was a college athlete. We brought her on the podcast last year and she did a couple episodes with us. And so she'll be talking about women in sports and that sort of angle on pop history. And so like all of that, I think, is deeply important to understanding women's lives. And obviously, we've talked about sports in Title IX in our chapter on the feminist era. But it's more than Title IX, right? It's yeah. about sort of the pop culture celebrity status of some of these stars in sports and as well as media. And the thing that really brought this to a head for me and the need to do it was we won a grant from a major grant from the Annalee Davis Thorndike Foundation. She passed away long ago, but she's from Meredith, New Hampshire.
Which is, for those who don't know New Hampshire, right in our backyard from where Kelsey and I dwell.
Yes, on Lake Winnipesaukee, which sometimes it's the largest lake in New Hampshire, and it's a huge vacation destination. So Meredith is a big town in vacation land. So, anyway, we're really grateful to them, but why Annalee Thorndike is so important is that she actually was a self-made businesswoman who made dolls. And
yeah.
So she's really interesting. She was born before women could vote. She started making dolls sort of as a hobby, as a homemaker. And she and her husband owned a farm in the area that during the Great Depression went under. Uh-huh. And basically, they were like, well, crap, what are we going to do? And so she turned this hobby of hers that she had on the side into a very successful business. And so she made dolls in her name. So her name is Annalee, and they're called Annalee Dolls. You can find them online. And in Meredith, New Hampshire, there remains a store where you can go buy it. That's where the factory used to be.
Yep.
Yep. And she was recognized by the United States Small Business Association. She became the first woman to win the Business Person of the Year award by that association. So that's pretty, like, that's her history-making contribution. And these dolls are super cute. Like, they're little, like, figurines. And they're not, I would say they're cute. They're not Barbie status where it's
they're more dolls.
Yeah.
They're, like, collectibles.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that's interesting about her is most of her employees were women. So she not only created she's not only like at the forefront as a business leader, but she's bringing women behind her.
Yeah. I think part of it was like wanting to create a business for other moms. So there's flexibility for them too, I think is what I read.
Yeah. She invested in childcare for them and created scholarships to support them.
I can remember, so this is when I was graduating college and the factory was still in Meredith, which it's close to Plymouth State University. And a lot of the students in the business program would actually do internships there.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember their HR team coming and they were some of the nicest people I'd ever met. And I was really like very impressed by them. And now working in HR, they really set the tone of what it's like to build a family first company. Mm. And I thought, you know, they're doing something that a lot of companies are no longer investing or weren't investing in at that time in 2004. Yeah. that really attracted a lot of people to want to, like, I don't think they ever had an issue hiring people.
But also, like, this is the 1940s, 50s, like, mm-hmm. way ahead of
the curve,
the time, you know, and I think that's really awesome.
They also, they had painted faces, like, all the dolls, like, if there was something about having a cloth face and they would paint, they were all individually painted, which I thought was kind of unique, and that's why they're collectibles.
Yeah. So her work was considered, quote, the most famous manufactured item to come to New Hampshire in the 20th century. So not just women, like, but like any item coming out of this state. And they have reached up to $6,000. Like, a single doll has reached up to $6,000 at auction. So, like, they're pretty significant as collectibles. So I think that's really neat. So we'll be adding a little bit about her as well as Barbie and any other, you know, dolls to this chapter that we're adding to the site. And I think that's a great lead in to talking about the significance, not just of Barbie in history, but this movie, which I think is history making in and of itself. It, you know, is going to win probably yeah. lots of awards during award season. And it was, you know, highest grossing film by a female director.
Yeah, Greta.
Let's go, Greta. So I think this film, as well as Barbie, are history making and worth dissecting. So, Brooke, what's your hot take?
2023 was the year of a lot of really cool popular culture for women.
Mm-hmm.
I think we don't have to get into Taylor Swift, but there was a huge moment where the Barbie movie came out in the summer that Taylor Swift's Eras concerts yeah. came out and her movie. And so there's a lot around, a lot of news articles came out that said basically women kept the economy alive this summer by yeah. attending.
Beyonce too.
Yep. Beyonce. Like, there's so many, you know, significant moments where women really showed up in droves. And so the Barbie movie is a really interesting one where, I don't know, I've not been to a movie theater in a long time, like just with girlfriends or like for friends. I've gone with my children and watched something that was fine and not, you know, big movie hit by any means. But this was like, I got dressed up. We yeah. went to the movies. We made a whole night around it. We talked about Barbies. It's as like,
by the way, who goes to the movies anymore, yeah. right?
Like, who goes to the movies? And then like, who does it as like a little cultural moment? Like, we dressed in pink and I went with my good friend Mary and her aunt, who her aunt is, I would say, over 50. She's beautiful and lovely. But she brought Alan. She brought all of her original Barbies. So she brought Alan. She brought Ken, Skipper, and she had Barbie. And we were like holding them while we were watching the movie. And we're all dressed in pink. And just the experience of doing that as mm-hmm. a community. And then like the entire theater were women, but not women of one age or another. It was mm-hmm. all ages. It was such an accessible cultural moment, which mm-hmm. I think that for me was like, okay, I'm in, like, whatever this is about. I just love the community moment that we're having here.
Yeah. So we have to, though, acknowledge that most people had apprehension about the movie. Like, you were excited.
Oh my
gosh.
I was
excited.
Everyone had an opinion prior. And I think I watched a documentary of the making of the Barbie movie.
Oh, cool.
Which was on Hulu. I think you can get it. And I got a chance to listen to the CEO of Mattel and like why he wanted to make this movie in the first place. And because he was really just trying to rebrand Barbie. He wanted to make it more accessible and make it more current and really tell people like, no, 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 we are a feminist supported organization and we want to invite people in and we're trying to be more welcoming. And so when he brought Greta onto the project, they get this whole interview of the two of them kind of saying like, where do we want to go with this movie? Mm-hmm. And then Margot Robbie came on as an executive producer and had a lot of say in how this was going to go about and the authenticity and really speaking to the cultural narrative that is now and how applicable Barbie is. So it was just really cool bringing you into the story of how they wanted to present it.
One thing that I will say, I have a lot of men in my life who like hadn't seen the movie
mm-hmm.
and they're like, I don't want to see the movie. And there's so much hype and I don't feminism. One thing I will say about it is if you think that you're like walking into this feminist indoctrination film or something,
no,
you're definitely not. And a lot of that hype is just like way overblown. I walked away from it you know, obviously we spend a lot of time in the feminist world, and
it was actually more a narrative on masculinity.
Yeah, I walked away being like, oh, okay. Like, that was, it was cute. It was fun. I was entertained. I laughed. I cried. I felt the things. But I also was just like, oh, all right. Like,
yeah, it wasn't like, know. It wasn't like breaking the mold. I mean, one of the things that I think they did is they were trying to bring people along to understanding how ridiculous it is that women should support men the way that they do by having the Ken character be really, I would say, you know, aggressive in the other direction of it, but, you know, painting a narrative of like all he was built for was to be for Barbie.
Yeah, he beached.
He beached. He was Ken who beached. Yeah. Like, that was his job. And so, like, he didn't have this dynamic life.
Yeah.
Barbie did. And all he was supposed to do was be like a support character.
All of the women were awesome, but Ryan Gosling stole the show for me.
I was unsure when they first like put out the cast. I was like, Ryan Gosling? Like,
One of the comments was like, he was too old. Like, why not?
I think I was like, he's old. He's not Ken. Yeah. Like, Ken's 20 something. Ryan Gosling's
40.
Yeah. And, but he was like a heartthrob to the millennials from The Notebook. So, like, okay, bring him back.
It definitely felt like it was talking to us. A little bit, and that probably could be just the age of the producers.
It definitely felt like a millennial movie. I feel like I was thinking about my like Gen Z colleagues who are already 1,000 steps ahead of me when it comes to their progressive understanding of feminism, and I love that. I wonder how it resonates with them and what their experience was. Like, old shit, different day. Like,
one of the things that, so the narrative that I really enjoyed in it was the way that Barbie, I think the piece of it, I mean, the movie's so random, right? Like, my husband watched it and was like, I don't even know what I just saw. Like, what is it about? Like, what, like, there's a scene, they're like in this world and then they're in that world and then there's like these random dance sequences and like
it's sci-fi. I mean, when you really put it out there, like, it's, there's Barbie Land, like, and there's United States, and how do they connect?
If anyone tries to argue that there's some sort of like underlying thesis or argument being made throughout, I'd be like, yeah, but it contradicts itself.
I mean, like, conservatives took a whack at it. They're like, oh, they're trying to create a bunch of women men. It's like, okay.
No.
Like, simmer down.
Yeah, and it was like if they're making a cohesive argument, like, it was done poorly. As a person who teaches writing, I'm like, there's no consistent argument through this. It's just very random. And then they're like on rollerblades. And it's like, this is just silly. Like, it's just silly.
I think it was meant to be fun. Like, it was totally meant. And it was also meant to be really nostalgic.
Yeah.
The nostalgia slams you on the head. And it is lovely for those who did have Barbies growing up and who, like, you, as soon as you see the Barbie you had, you're like, oh, that was mine. Like, that's what I like.
American Ferrera's character, Gloria, I think just like, she brings the experience of being a girl raised with Barbies home.
Yeah.
And her nostalgia for the doll.
I think it's also, as from a mother's perspective with her daughter too, of wanting to have this same experience.
Yeah.
I think as we're moms of boys, it's a little different, you know, when our kids get into stuff that we're into.
Yeah.
It's not always a female experience. Like, I had American Girl dolls growing up. That was a big thing for me. And
I gave mine to my nieces.
I know. It's like, they were very precious. They were very expensive. So you took care of them. There was a whole thing where you had to really be ready to have an American Girl doll. Yeah. And I won't have that experience with my sons. Not that I wouldn't give them my American Girl dolls, but they have genuinely no interest in it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, I'm going to miss that by not having girls. And I loved American Ferrera and her daughter having this dialogue of, like, women try to connect with their daughters through their own experiences and bring them along.
Yeah. So I think I loved the movie. I really enjoyed it. I encourage everyone to go see it. I think it's very valuable. My take is that the feminism in it is a little bit dated. And maybe a lot of it dated. Like, I think it's off by about a decade or two.
But it's bringing people along who haven't been there yet. I think we're on the other end of understanding feminism and being deeply saturated in the understanding of them. So our lens is biased.
Yeah.
I think for those who are breaking their brain in the last few years, I think especially since COVID, there's a lot of new...
And Me Too.
And Me Too movement. And there's a lot of moments where women are new to feminism or new to seeing that feminism isn't just trying to put women on top. Like, I think a lot of our mom's generations were like... feminism
girls
so
rule, boys drool.
Yeah, like feminism is so alienating and it's not accessible because it's just trying to put women on top. It was like, no, it's just trying to make women have choice. It's not about putting women at the top.
And it wasn't just women. Like, my dad was a math teacher, and I distinctly remember being in the grocery store with him, and he was like, "Do you notice how all the girls are cashiers and all the boys are bag boys?" And I was like, "Yes." He goes, "That's because girls are better at math." And I was like,
okay, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. But also, like, that's not true, one. It's not that either is better at math. It's just, like, that's sort of a... I think that's... To me, like, I love that my dad was a feminist before his time. But I also am like, that doesn't actually...
He accepts
actually,
it in his understandings and how he wanted to approach it.
Yeah, and it doesn't really help anybody. You know, like
no, just, I think about it. I mean, my dad is of the same generation. It's like, I played on boys... sports teams because we didn't have just girls teams, so I think until I was 8 or 9, it was co-ed, and I can remember my dad being like, you know, if the boys don't pass for you, just go steal the ball and take it and don't pass to them, like, who, fuck them. I was like, thanks, Dad. Like, I didn't need his permission, but I liked that he said, you don't play down to anybody,
right?
And don't ever feel bad if you're better than someone, like, especially as a woman.
Yeah.
Like, they need to step. And I can remember, like, beating my brother, who was pretty close in age to me, which was rare. Yeah. Let me put it, my brother's very athletic, but we were on the same team.
Yeah.
And I can remember beating him, and my dad's like, good.
Yeah, keep it up.
If you're better, you should beat someone. It's not about being a boy or a girl. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
Right. But I think, so Bell Hooks wrote a book that, if you haven't read it, you should definitely read. It's called Everyday Feminism, or Feminism for Everybody. And it is just a really simple introduction to what feminism is. And she spends a lot of time in the very beginning breaking down this idea that it's not about man-hating. And I do think that Barbie makes clear that, I didn't get the sense that Barbie hated Ken.
No, not
but
at all.
But I felt like Barbie just sort of was like, ignored Ken and was like, why, Ken, why do you have issues? Like, what's your deal?
But I think she was taking the lens of, that's how men act in our society. And women are over here like, please pay attention to me. I'm not just here to support you.
Right. And I think someone could walk away from Barbie thinking that's what they wanted was the reverse, right? And even at the very end of the movie, when they're sort of reestablishing norms and reinstating their constitution in Barbie land, you know, they're like, you can have the same number of justices to the courts as in the real world. And it was like, okay, that's kind of punitive. Like, like you're still, like, why not create equality in this fictitious place?
I think in a good moment. So, you know, we're in January of 2024 right now. We just saw, is it Missouri that instated an entire female?
Oh, Minnesota.
Minnesota. Thank you.
Council.
Executive council.
Yeah.
I think the pendulum has to swing heavy in the other direction to create equality that we want to get to.
Yeah,
so it's been unequal for a long time. That women haven't had an equal seat. So if we swing in the other direction where more women have a seat than men, it will swing back.
It'll
and
start
we
to
will
normalize that, like, okay, if it's been okay for men to dominate in all of these positions of power, like,
for as long as they have,
right,
the pendulum will swing in the other direction. Women will be in those seats.
And I think the point is not that the goal is women,
total takeover.
Right. The goal is not that. It's just that, like, we need to normalize that that's okay. It's about merit. And if the people at the top happen to, the most meritous people happen to be women, then that's how it should be.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I do, so in Bell Hooks' book, she talks a lot about feminism being less, like, you know, she's a woman of color and she's writing about, one of the things she sort of tackles is this, I think, kind of like white feminism, where equality is really a goal of elite women, and really what feminism is, and her definition is being anti-sexist. And by defining it that way, by trying to use your feminism to tackle things that are sexist, I think it makes really clear that this movement is not about men and women, but about things that put people in boxes because of an inalienable characteristic. And so it's not about, I think what that shift, because I always thought like feminism is about achieving gender equality, and mm-hmm. that could be a byproduct, but the goal is to challenge sexist thinking.
Right.
And women can be sexist toward men, toward each other.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, that really illustrates that this isn't about women trying to get men on board. In fact, sometimes men can be the best at pointing out sexism.
Yeah.
Right? And sexism when it's in reverse sometimes. And also sexism when it is, you know, women being sexist towards other women. And
oh, totally.
So I think that was interesting. And then the other thing that I felt was missing was there's sort of this presumption, because Barbie Land's this like La La Land, right? Like, it's, yeah, everything's good. They all have all their resources and needs. But I think one of the layers of feminism today that was really absent from the film to me was the experiences of poor women. And
there's a lot missing, but I think that one is probably really one to highlight.
Women are 70% of the global poor. That's an overwhelming amount of poor people. And the way that is so unbelievably gendered, to me, illustrates that feminism is about poverty. Feminism is about addressing systemic issues that impact women, girls, children, that we seem to be okay with, and kind of the stereotypes of the welfare mom, right? And like these women mooching off the government. And it's like, they're like, get rid of the word mooching in our vocabulary. That word needs to be banned.
Like, the government should support people who are unable to work or need additional resources because of their circumstances. Not but everyone starts from the same starting line.
But like, also, let's back up. Why are women in these positions?
Totally.
What sacrifices are they making as caregivers, as mothers? Why does that make them reduce their employment opportunities? Why does it change the amount that they're able to make and bring into their families that makes them, live below the poverty line? And, you know, there are people that are going to have answers to it that I think really need to check that answer, which is not that they're lazy. It is not that they are having babies in order to bring in more government revenue. Money. Like, that, it's just like, there's no way that math works, that like having another kid and getting the government money, that like the government money is not enough to make that a lucrative life plan. So
I know, I think there's a lot of people that are of the mindset that are like, oh, they're just lazy. And it's like, check that.
Right.
Check that bias. Like,
I think my point is that Barbie focused so much on like, women can be presidents, women can be astronauts. Well, and those are elite women's things.
But you know? Those are also in the movie. All of their basic necessities and needs were met.
Yeah, that was the given.
Like, they don't eat food, so that's right. Not a problem. They don't need electricity because that's not a thing. Like, you know.
If they wanted to go harder, the Kens would not have been at the beach beaching. The Kens would have been taking care of children. There was no children in the movie.
I know, the one Kens pregnant lady is Midge.
Right.
And they, like, put her off to the side.
The Kens would have been taking care of children. The Kens would have been living in poverty. The Barbies would not have been paying child support, right? Like, there would have been a lot of things. The Kens would be dealing with the repercussions of pregnancy and birth. And, like, there would have been really much harder things to look at. And they didn't go hard at all. It was fluff, right?
Well, yeah, it's Hollywood. And they did what they did.
But, like, that's... I think when I hear people saying that this is a feminist movie, they're trying to indoctrinate people, I was like, oh, if you wanted that, they could have gone a lot harder. Well,
there's a great film that came out, and now I don't even know how long ago it was, but Misrepresentation.
I didn't see that.
Way ahead of its time. It did a tour in small theaters. It's actually the movie that really brought me in to, like, wait a second. 2011. Wow. Great movie. Anyways, so it's out there, and it actually attacks a lot of those things of how women are presented in the media and where we think that's normal and why that's presented as normal. But that organization has a nonprofit that starts to highlight some of these things, and they had a pretty good hot take on Barbie and the pros and cons column of where it missed, which I think was worth a read.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of that's to say, I loved Barbie. I thought it was awesome. I bought it. I made my husband watch it.
Oh, my boys have watched it multiple times.
Yep.
My good friend, Adam, he was so cute. He's like, so you're just like trying to make sure that your kids are feminists. I was like, oh, they are.
Yeah. Like, this is, that's the given.
Yeah. Luke's biggest book right now at bedtime is the World Cup book with Megan Rapinoe.
Like, yeah, it is.
We're not trying to play it down around here. So, and like, good night, Rebel Girl. Like, we don't mess around.
Right.
So, anyways, right. I love that. Hot take on Barbie. It's good stuff. It's thanks, good Kels. Stuff.
Brooke, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to Remedial Her Story, The Other 50%. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts to bring more voices to the conversation. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.